Welcome, and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, CICS and Rational, Increase Business Agility Through Innovative Tooling. Today's teleconference will be recorded, will last approximately 60 minutes, and will include a live question and answer session. In this teleconference, you'll learn how Rational and CICS tools can help your team collaborate to save time and money while developing enhancements and fixes for cross-platform enterprise applications. The speakers for today's teleconference are David Chadwick, Performance Tester, Product Champion and Manager, Tim Hahn, Distinguished Engineer, Chief Architect for Enterprise Tools, and John Knutson, Marketing Manager, CICS Tools and CICS Communications. At this time, I would like to hand it over to our first speaker, David Chadwick.
Thank you, Corey, and welcome to the conference call. Today we have an exciting array of tool offerings, and the way we're going to approach it is to walk you through a scenario of how kind of a day in the life of a development of a new product where both testing and development are being done in an agile manner, and the CICS tooling is helping to analyze bottlenecks in the performance of the system, and they're all working together seamlessly as a team. So with that, I will start. If you move to page 2, you will see that there are 3 segments of the agenda. We'll start by talking about a relatively new concept, agile performance testing, which is the way we envision performance testing being merged seamlessly into an agile development process. And then we'll go on to the other two parts, the analysis and the actual agile development and the tools that support that. So let's go ahead to page 3 and then 4. Okay, so on page 4 is the outline of the agile performance testing steps that will be done to provide a basis for finding out how the performance of a brand new feature is coming along during agile development, and then going through the analysis of how that is occurring, and then on to the development of fixing a problem that was found. So let's start with the steps here. You first of all, merging performance testing into agile development process, you want to think of the agile development of a new feature where you start with a user story. So if we go to slide 5, you can see here that a user story has been defined, that the new website that's being developed will allow a user to be able to access and update the user's profile information. So this is one of the functions that's necessary for the website. So with that user story in agile development parlance, that's basically the functional requirement definition. And in this case, we're also defining alongside that functional requirement a performance requirement for that same user function. So we're saying that for the user profile update operation, you need to be able to have 90% of the responses return in less than 2 seconds. And so that is the response time definition for this function from the website. And that is in context of a peak busy hour workload definition that includes all the other operations and other people and activity doing activities against this website. So eventually this will be a building block in a much larger workload definition that gets run at the end of the project to make sure all of the functions are operating properly. But in this context, we want to do a functional, a just user function performance test to make sure the function itself can handle its throughput rate, which is required to be 2,000 operations per minute during that busy hour. So that's where we're headed. And let's move on to slide 6. And this is a requirements record that has been created in Rational Quality Manager, which maintains the linkages between the requirements for the project along with the test, the test suites and the test cases that are all part of the test plan in for your project. And so this is the requirements record that has the description and of the requirement we just talked about. So let's go to slide 7. And this is a representation of the test case for the performance of the update user profile as a test case record in Rational Quality Manager as well. And what you do in the table of contents on the left-hand side of that slide, you will notice several different line items there, one of which is a requirements line item, which is where you would hook in the requirements record for traceability. And there's also a test script link where you would link in the actual implementation of the test so that you could run the test case from the Rational Quality Manager itself. So if we go on to slide 8, you'll see that we've moved into the Rational Performance Tester product now, and having just finished capturing the user scenario that goes in and logs into the website and then clicks the update user profile link, brings up the user update form and fills in some changes and then commits that record. So in the last step of that scenario, we have attached here a performance requirement for the committing of that record, and we've selected from all the choices of performance requirements that this will be a 90th percentile response time requirement, and it has to be less than 2 seconds or we fail the performance requirement when we run the test. So on the next page, on page 9, we see the performance requirement report at the end of the test that says we have a negative margin for this requirement. That is, we were attempting, if you look in the bottom table, to meet a 2 second response time. That's the 2000 in the next to last column, left to right. So it says less than or equal to 2000, which is 2000 milliseconds. And the observed requirement right beside it in the fifth column says 6400 milliseconds was the observed result. So that means that we had a 6.4 90th percentile response time in seconds. And so that's a negative margin of minus 220%, which basically says we're 2.2 times slower than we should be. And so the requirement status is failed, as shown in red there. So this report is passed back up to the Rational Quality Manager and archived with the result, saying that this was the result of the test playback and that for that run it failed. This is then how you would analyze in Rational Performance Tester what the actual response time was. and you see here in the green bar on page 10 that the average response time for that 90th percentile of 6.4 seconds, the average was even over 2 seconds. It was 2.7 seconds. And so even the average was slower than what we want the 90th percentile to end up. So we have a performance problem with that user profile update. And so at this point, I want to, as I need to pass the information along to the back-end system analysis for the CICS query that gets done from the web application server to go out to the mainframe and pull in or make the profile update. So I, at this point, will pass it along to John Knutson, our expert on CICS, who will take you through the CICS analysis tools where we actually find and solve the problem. So over to you, John.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks for that. Dave has filled out a work item request which will come through to me using Rational Team Concert. And I would have a user ID on the same environment as he, and so I would be able to be notified when this requirement comes in. It would be one of the pieces of work that would appear on my desktop, go look into this particular program. So on slide 13, I'll have a much simplified outline of a performance analysis process. In any performance analysis, you need to identify what your target transactions are and what the programs are which match up with those. And sometimes you're just told things are running generally slow, and then you need to look out for particular transactions. In this case, I will have been told what the transaction ID is because it relates to a particular application that's being tested. So that piece of work is simplified. It's passed along with the RTC request. Typically what you do then is you look for out-of-line metrics. So you're looking for really spikes. You're trying to see, is this transaction typical? Is this particular aspect of this transaction typical? If it's not, then is it enough to cause the problem, or is the problem somewhere else? So basically you need to look for resource usage, high resource usage of typically data accessing requests. Typically they're the ones that take more time because there's more serialization involved. So things like KIX file control, which goes to VSAM, KIX access to DB2 or IMS or to temporary storage queues, which are KIX constructs, which in turn get mapped out to VSAM. So if you find very high values there, then that's something that is useful feedback to the development team so that they can check whether these values are normal or abnormal and whether they need to be, if somebody's doing 1,000 IOs in the by analysis and development only thinks they should be doing 100, then there's a pathology somewhere and that can be found during the performance analysis. Response time, you look for out-of-line response times either for a transaction that you know and performs so in a certain way against the transaction that you're examining to see whether for the same amount of work it's taking about the same amount of time, or whether occasionally you have spikes, so you might have data-related pathological behavior, data-related performance problems, and so it depends on the test cases whether that is a normal environment or not. Response time, of course, is made up of two components. It's the CPU time while the programs are active or the KIX environment is active or the DB2 environment. And then there's the wait time while the application program is waiting for something to finish waiting for some other higher priority transaction, for example, to finish its processing. And then the storage usage, if you have high storage usage, then that can result in excessive paging and waiting in the KIX storage mechanism. And so you need to look out for excessive or out-of-line use of storage. And something else which is important in a modern KIX environment is task control block, TCB switches. A lot of KIX now can work in a thread-safe way, running in a parallel environment across multiple processors mapped on multiple TCBs, and yet some of the earlier applications weren't capable of running in that way, and there's great benefit that can be had by removing the switching, both in reduction of CPU usage and reduction in wait times, as well as getting increased parallelism. It results in generally reduced response times. That's not a pathology, but it's often an optimization that can be done or certainly looked for at the time while you are looking for pathologies. And then when you think you've found something, you need to make some recommendations, and these recommendations may result in some program changes or some resource definition changes or potentially even some resetting of expectations. If this is the way it is and it has to be this way, then maybe the expectations have to be reset, or the application has to be restructured in some way more than at the program level. So given that outline, I'm now going to go through a set of screenshots that I've taken of KIX Performance Analyzer along with the IBM KIX Explorer. KIX Performance Analyzer is an IBM product that's been around a number of years. It processes SMS records that come out of KIX or the subsystems related to KIX, and it archives the SMS records, it summarizes them, it has 150 reports to tell you almost everything you would need to know about what's going on inside the KIX environment based on SMS records and on statistics. Previously, it's only had an ISPF interface, which has required some specialist knowledge. It's typically been a tool of the system programmer, because sometimes you can say things like, give me a developer might say, show me this transaction running for the last 2 weeks, and that may involve reading millions or tens of millions of SMS records. You get what you ask for, and if you're not careful, you ask for too much. So it's tended to be a tool of the system programmer. With the latest release, we've introduced a plugin for the KIX Explorer, the new KIX framework for tooling, and it's an Eclipse-based framework like RDZ and the other rational tools we saw early on. And this provides either the system programmer or, more importantly, I think, the development community with access to KIX performance data in a highly efficient, highly optimized way that is also an intuitive way, and it's built into the same working environment that developers are used to working in already. So what I've got here, if you look on the left of the screenshot, there is a navigator, there is a CSV file which contains a comma-separated value file which is exported by KIX Performance Analyzer and imported into the Eclipse environment. What you get is you get a timeline of the regions which ran and the transactions which ran in them within individual time periods, within individual day periods within the file. And so I know from the RDC record that the particular test was run at a certain time or on a particular day, so I can select that day, and then what I get is I get this spreadsheet view of something like 100 different columns of performance data. Some of them are listed down the right-hand side. You can see them there. And each of the columns is sortable. So I've sorted it by the transaction ID. You can see the little downward arrow. And I've selected the HCIN transaction, which is the one that I was notified of in the RTC record. This then, I do that just using a normal shift select and drag, and that does a multiple select. By right-clicking, then, I get a context menu option, you can see it there, performance history, and I'm asking for a response time. So if we flip over now to slide 15, and we get the view that I'm then presented with. It's a bar chart view, and it's showing multiple colors. There's a little icon at the top of the graphical view. If you clicked on that, it will give you a breakdown of what the different colors mean. I think the brownie color is elapsed time, wait time, suspend time, and the pinky color is CPU time. So we see quite a different spread here, ranging from, say, a couple of seconds up to 3.5 seconds. But there's one which is less than a second. So something about this transaction we need to look into to see what's going on here. So what I can do is I can select one of the typical ones, the third one in. I've right-clicked on that. Again, I get performance history, and this time I'm going to select the detailed breakdown view. And if we flip over to slide 16, we can see some of what I see there, some of what you see there on the screen. If you know Eclipse, you know that it's a highly customizable environment. So if you wanted to see a little bit more of this this middle pane here, you could either double-click on the tab associated with the pane. That would make it full screen. Or you could adjust the size of the panes to either side to give it just a little more screen space. But what I see is I see a fairly complex chart. There's some transaction detail information at the top showing me the transaction, the region it ran on, and the time it ran. This is a 5-minute interval. Next, I'm presented with a set of pie charts. And when I select a pie chart, then I get the detail associated with that pie chart, both an expansion of the pie, and also I get the detailed breakdown. So I see that that when I select ThreadSafe, that 84% of the time we were spent on the KIX L8 TCB, the Key 8 TCB, which is saying that we're doing a lot of work in the on the same TCB that DB2 is accessed from, which is good. So there's a lot of parallelism here. What I can see is that there's a very high DB2 count. Some key metrics are presented in here. There's a lot more metrics besides, but some key ones are presented in each of these reports. So for ThreadSafe, it's useful to know how many DB2 accesses there are. And what we see is that for this 5-minute period, the average was over 4,500 DB2 requests. So this is a profile update. You know, there's a slight mismatch here between the transactions I have this data for and the use case that Dave was talking about. But you can, I think, see the sort of picture we're getting. There's a lot of DB2 requests. Each of those DB2 requests is associated with two TCB switches. So we got nearly 10,000 TCB switches, each one of which is taking something like 5,000 instructions and some period of wait time to get back onto the KIX TCB before they can proceed. So there is certainly some value here in doing some further optimization, but that's not going to achieve the level of performance improvements as set in the requirement specification. What we may want to do is actually try and get some more detailed information of the internal composition of this transaction in terms of KIX resource usage. So again, I can use the right click. This time I go into dependencies and users resources, and because I have KIX Interdependency Analyzer installed on my development and test systems, which shows the detailed relationships, dynamic relationships that between KIX transactions and programs and all of the KIX resources and MQ and DB2 and IMS resources they use. It's a very valuable way of understanding application structure, especially when you don't have access to the source code. It's also very useful in showing reality of execution against design for execution. So what we see here in the right-hand side of the graph, the users tab shows all of the different resources, and it's sort of like an explorer view. Every time you click a plus, it breaks it down further. And what we have is we have two vSAN files in use by this transaction, and we have four DB2 tables in use by this transaction. So this is useful information to go back to the development team and say, look, we have 4,500 DB2 accesses against these tables. Is this what you would expect this particular transaction to do? Because if it's not, that may be the cause of the high response times. Slide 17 is taking the other track. It's saying, well, assuming we are going to do some thread-safe optimization for this, let's use one of the Kix interdependency analyzer special queries to actually see whether there were any Kix calls, Kix commands in this transaction which actually would inhibit the transaction being made thread safe. It's not a guarantee that it may still not be thread safe, but it's a very good first or second sanity check. And so what I show here is using the query editor in Kix interdependency analyzer to specialize a general purpose query by specializing it with this transaction name, HCIN. And when I run this query, I find that none of the programs used in this transaction have any thread safe integrity errors. So we should be able to do that part of the change as part of any other change that we may want to do with this particular program or transaction. Moving on to slide 18, what I'm showing here is some of the flexibility of Eclipse and the Kix Performance Analyzer plugin, which enables you to have multiple views of the same sort of data. So I'm using the transaction detail response time view, but I have two different time periods. And what I see here is that the activity is very different and the response times are very different in these two time periods. One time period is less than a second, and this other time period it's 3.7 seconds. So that's a major difference. There's also differences in the number of TCB mode switches. You can see there, 9,000, this is the same instance we looked at before. That's the 4,500 DB2 requests. The other instances didn't have any mode switches, so they didn't have any DB2 requests. So these are two different transactions. Now, maybe that's part of the expectation setting, that this is the transaction. Often you have in Kix, the same transaction can do different sorts of function, and maybe there needs to be some recalculation, resetting of the requirements, and this is useful information to do that. So finally, on slide 19, what I would do is this: I would update the work item in RTC with the recommendations and the analysis. I could take either screenshots or some. I can do copies from the copy those diagrams we saw from Kix Performance Analyzer and paste them into RTC or paste them into a file and then send them off as part of the RTC request. First thing is development need to confirm that it's reasonable for this transaction to be issuing so many calls and maybe reset either rework the application or reset the expectations. And then you can do some other things like the thread safe optimization. It's not going to solve the problem, but it's something that's worth doing at the same time. And it's this sort of, if we found that, for example, there were some inhibitors to making the transaction thread safe, it would be far better to find them out now in development than later on when the transaction's in production, when typically those sorts of changes can take 10 or 100 times more time and resource than when found in development. That's one of the key values of doing agile or we're doing performance testing as part of an agile development process. The earlier you do the testing, the sooner you find the problems and the cheaper they are to fix. So now that I've found certainly some areas of problem, I can pass it over to Tim, our distinguished engineer, who will talk about the application developer tasks.
Great. Thank you very much, John. Let's just level set here to remind you all where we are in this development process. We've had David talk to us about setting up a test case, running that test case with Rational, or defining the test case with Rational Quality Manager, running some tests with Rational Performance Tester, and establishing that there's something that's not meeting the requirements of the test case, requirements of the users. We then had a work item opened in Rational Team Concert to log that there's a situation that needs to be looked into, and also assigned then to John, who is a CICS expert, and using the CICS tools that you just saw, did some deep analysis into what the situation might be to give the developer who has access to the source code some clue as to what's going on and understanding what's happening at runtime to their application code. John would have updated that RTC work item with various artifacts of the things that he found, text that he might want to input in commentary about his findings of the report. And as you will see, you can even update an RTC, Rational Team Concert work item with various artifacts such as screenshots and other links to other material that might be relevant to fixing or documenting the situation that is going on. So moving to page 21, the steps that the developer, myself, will take is to open an existing work item that is now assigned to me as a developer and look at that work item, understand what's going on with it, establish that I will be working on the item, which means I set myself up to be currently working on that work item. And in the same integrated development environment, I would edit and change some source code that is associated with the problem based on what I've seen from the information left in that work item by both the performance tester and the CICS expert. I'd find the code in the source code repository. Remember here, I would be changing some source code locally that I will then have to at some point check in once I've unit tested and made sure that my fix is accurate. But before I do that, I want to find the existing code in the source code repository and evaluate the differences in the before and after source code. I'd like to look and see what I really changed, just to verify that I've changed the right things. I'd then check in the source code, and at the completion of this work, I will resolve the work item. By resolving the work item, that will then go back for a verification by our performance tester so that they know they can verify that the appropriate fix has been made. So with that overview of steps, let's look at some screenshots of what each of those steps looks like for a developer working in an agile environment. So moving to page 22, we see a view of Rational Team Concert running inside an Eclipse environment. You might recall that there was a screenshot earlier on that David showed of Rational Team Concert, and that was actually a view of editing a work item through a browser or web browser-based interface. Well, what you see here is that same information, that same Rational Team Concert work item, but viewed through what a application developer would typically be used to using in an integrated development environment. You see here in the middle of the screen a defect listed that has a description. It indicates that I am the owner of this defect and that it has a major severity. Other items that you might see in a fully filled out work item is that there might be links associated with this. There might be attached files in the work item that contain screenshots or other artifacts of information that will be useful in solving the problem. Moving to page 23, I have established that I'm going to work on the work item, and I did that by changing the state of the work item in the upper right-hand corner. You see now that the state is in progress as opposed to new in the previous screenshot. So now that the work item is in progress, and if you look at the bottom right of the screen, in the Eclipse workspace, it's noted that I am currently working on problem 7250, and that becomes important later on as I change code And the integrated development environment keeps track of that for me and helps me in resolving this problem. You'll see also that I've added some discussion text to this, indicating that I will look into this right away and resolve the problem. Moving on to page 24, now within that same integrated development environment, I'm going to look at some source code and find the situation in the source code that seems to be exhibiting the problem. Now, this editor that you see here is a context-sensitive editor. It allows syntax highlighting of COBOL code. This is running in Rational Developer for System Z. On the left-hand side of the screen, you get a project view, which allows you to view COBOL source artifacts or source artifacts that are in your projects, and then an editor view in the middle of the screen. And you'll see on the right-hand side an outline view. And so what Rational Developer for Z Syntax Highlighting Editor, or Smart Editor, does is it parses through your COBOL source and allows you to jump quickly via this outline to various sections of that COBOL source program. You can navigate a little quicker through a large program by using the outline view on the right-hand side of the page. This, you can see, is a very short program, and you'll see on page 25 that we've edited some source code to change a loop that looked like it could go forever to actually have a maximum loop count associated with it. So we added a little bit of code to establish a loop count variable, and then changed the test in the perform until statement to only loop until a maximum of 400 times, or 399 times. Moving to page 26, now that we've made this change, we want to evaluate that change against the original source code just to make sure we haven't changed anything else in between that we forgot about. If you'll notice the bottom part of the screen, the integrated development environment has kept track of the changes I've made and listed them as an outgoing change to be applied to the source base or into the source repository. If you'll remember previously, I had established that I was working on a problem, and by working on that problem, when I made a change to that source file, the integrated development environment associated that change with that work item that I was working on before. Now I'm viewing the problem again. I've selected the change history that I made a change to that source file for, and then looking on page 27, I'm showing here a view, a file difference view. Many people are familiar with viewing file differences. If you've been in development at all, you do a lot of file differences before and after to see what's going on with the source code and how it's changed, as you've changed the code. You'll see here this is a visual differencing tool that outlines for you the changes that have been made to a file. And it shows on the left-hand side of this dual screen the updated file version, and you'll note that it says editable, which means you can make edits, you can make changes to the file if you don't agree with the change that was made here. And on the right-hand side of the pane, you'll see the source file that was presumably in the source code repository. You can see what is the before version and what is the after version. And you'll see here that different changes throughout the file are linked together with little lines, and then the specific change within a line is shown with highlighting as well. So not only line differences, but also within line differences and what those changes are. And I'll note one more thing about this file differencing view, this file difference, is that on the far right-hand side, you'll see two little white boxes with outlines on them just to the right of the slider. That's actually an indicator of how many changes exist throughout the file. And you can click on those individual boxes to jump from one change to the next or jump around in the file, especially on a very large file. It's nice to have an idea of where you are in the file and how many changes you have to evaluate when you're looking at a change view. So moving on to the next page, I agreed with the changes I made. That's good. But now I really need to check those in, bring those into the source code repository, and then will be picked up as part of the next build. In an agile environment, there's almost teams often work in sort of a what we call a continuous integration mode. And so file check-ins are happening all the time, and builds are happening on a continual basis, where a build might happen every 20 minutes or every hour or maybe every day. And this continual integration, teams check in their fixes, and then the build picks up those fixes on the next build after the file check-in has occurred. So what you see in this page, by right-clicking on a context menu on the source code change that I saw on the Project Explorer, on the source code file that I changed, moving down to team and then check-in, by performing that step, I will move the changes from my local workstation into the Rational Team Concert source code repository, and thus then get picked up as part of the next build. The next step for me is to mark the work item as resolved, and you'll see here on this page that I'm viewing the work item again. In the upper right hand corner, I've changed the state to resolve, and I've added the qualifier that I believe I've fixed the defect. I've also added a discussion comment. I've indicated that I've added a loop count guard to the long running loop to complete this problem. This will then cause the work item to shift back to Dave Chadwick, to the performance tester, so that he can evaluate, verify that the fix truly does solve the problem that we were experiencing. And now moving to page 30, what we have here at the end of this presentation is a set of links for you to use to find more information about the tools and analysis that we've shown you today. Just to remind you, we talked about agile performance testing with Rational Quality Manager and Rational Performance Tester. We then followed up with a deep analysis of performance in CICS using the CICS Explorer, Performance Analyzer, and Interdependency Analyzer. And then we discussed agile development using a combination of Rational Team Concert and Rational Developer for SystemZ associated with applications that run in a CICS environment. On page 31, we have several more links about learning more about various Rational tools. On page 32, some more information about learning about CICS. And now with that, I'd like to turn it back to the operator so that she can go through some survey questions with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, gentlemen. Now we would like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a live question and answer session with the presenters. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key, followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. Question 1. Please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. And if it was low, press star 3. You may vote now. Again, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. And if it was low, press star 3. Please vote now. One moment, please. Question 2. Was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. You may vote now. Again, was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Please vote now. Question 3. Was the application developer tasks section helpful to you in understanding how to use Rational Team Concert and Rational Developer for System Z in combination with other tools for solving complex software development tasks. If it was very helpful, press star 1. If it was somewhat helpful, press star 2. If it was not helpful, press star 3. You may vote now. Again, was the Application Developer Tasks section helpful to you in understanding how to use Rational Team Concert and Rational Developer for System Z in combination with other tools for solving complex software development tasks? If it was very helpful, press star 1. If it was somewhat helpful, press star 2. If it was not helpful, press star 3. Please vote now. Question 4. We hope you have enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. You may vote now. Again, we hope you have enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. Please vote now. And that concludes our survey. Thank you all for your participation. Now let's move to your questions. To ask your question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone at any time. To withdraw your request, you may press star 2. At this time, I will turn the call over to our speakers while we wait for questions. Gentlemen, at this time we have no questions. I would like to turn it back to you for closing comments.
This is Tim Hahn. I'll just make one comment. I'd like to thank our speakers today, John Knutson, Dave Chadwick, and myself. I'd also encourage everyone that if they have questions about the products or they want to learn more, to refer to the links in the presentation. Those will help you learn more about the products, and I hope that you all learn something today and can use it in your environments. Thank you.